As I thought about this morning and what I would say to you, I could not escape. I have several things that I'm going to do over the next few weeks regarding the church, but I couldn't escape one word. And this is my counsel to you as your pastor as we begin year number 40. And it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So turn there if you would please, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read this portion of scripture and we'll discover this word. And then for a few minutes, I will try to challenge you with what's on my heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning now in verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Let me stop. I probably should have said this at the beginning. This is a letter that is a part of Scripture written by the Apostle Paul, a church planter, to a young man named Timothy. And this in this letter, Paul tells Timothy that his time is up, that he feels that his ministry is complete, and he is expecting to depart for heaven at any time. And he's challenging Timothy from that standpoint, right? So this is Paul writing to Timothy, a seasoned man of God writing to a younger man. And he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The word I want you to focus on this morning and that I want to challenge you with God's help, is found in verse number 14. Paul says to Timothy, in spite of all the things that I'm telling you are going to be going on and are going to be happening, I have one word of counsel to you, one challenge for you. Continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The Church of Jesus Christ, whether it be New Testament Baptist Church of Hamilton, Ontario, or any other local congregation serving the Lord Jesus today, does not need any new orders. We just need to obey the orders we've already been given. We need to continue. Somebody says, but times are tough. The times have changed. The friends of the church and sympathizers of the gospel are very few. Well, let me tell you, when Paul wrote this message to Timothy, it wasn't easy. Paul's life was not a bed of roses. And Paul says to him out of the midst of all of his troubles, and he said, you know all about them. I'm challenging you to continue. One thing, just stay at it. Look back at chapter 2, if you would, for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son. He was often referring to himself as Timothy's father in the faith. And Timothy as his disciple, or as a person discipled by Paul, was his son in the faith. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know what he's saying? He's saying, continue. Let's just keep doing the same thing. What I've taught you, you take and teach others. And then they take that and they teach others. It's the same thing Jesus said, isn't it? When he left this earth, he said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he said, the plan is the same. It will always be the same. Just go do it. You win souls, you baptize them, you teach them, and then they will win souls and baptize them and teach them. Even unto the end of the world, I will be with you. All power is given unto me. So he's just saying to them, continue, continue. Don't quit. Don't give up. When I think about that, the Lord placed in the hands of his disciples the eternal destinies of souls. Think about that. If they did not go and preach the gospel, then men cannot hear the gospel and believe and be saved. So God placed the eternal destiny of souls in their hands and told them to go and bear the news to every land, to every person. I today, and you if you're saved, are saved because they continued. Not just they, but others continued. And in the process of men and women continuing, you and I heard the gospel, and you and I now know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and have hope for all of eternity. Church, it's easy to start something. Everybody can do that, and everybody does that. As a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks from now, there will be multitudes of people who will make all kinds of resolutions for the new year, and they will determine to start. They're going to start a diet. They're going to start an exercise program. They're going to turn over a new leaf in some area or another. And we all do that. Everybody can and everybody does. But the difficulty in life is to continue, is to keep going. It used to be that men and women looked at an automobile as a means of getting from one place to another. I remember when I was a teenager, even though, like everybody, I saw the sports cars, the sleek, fast cars, and you know, dreamed about having one of those. But I tell you, I was very happy to get any car, any vehicle, because it gave me freedom. I could go from one place to another. I wasn't dependent on somebody else. And that's all the car meant to me. That's all it was all about. But then my friend got a car, and in his car, he had some kind of gadget that I didn't have in my car. And now today's cars, where does it end? I mean, now we're talking about cars with all kinds of unusual gadgets, radios, equalizers, stereo system, tilt wheel, computers, television, telephone, adjustable seats, heated seats, remote control mirrors. You could sit in a car and play for hours and never get tired. The other day, I took my wife to a doctor's appointment. And I sat in the neighborhood waiting for her because I didn't know how long it would take. And I took the book for the vehicle I now have. And I'm reading the book and I'm learning about this computer system I got on the dash and how to use my phone, how to put my phone through that and all this stuff. I ran out of time. But I realized I could have spent a lot of time doing that. What happens in life is we get distracted by all of the gadgets, all the add-ons, all the fancy things. And we forget what the main thing is. We forget, for example, why we bought the car in the first place, which was to get from one place to another. And I think the church can get so enamored by all the little things that go along with giving the gospel to a lost and dying world that we forget that that is the work of the church, getting the gospel to the world. By the way, when you read the New Testament, has it ever dawned on you that Jesus never made it comfortable or easy to be a disciple? He did promise that if you come unto him, he will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But he also said, as he saw the multitudes following, he said, if any man would come after me and be my disciple, if he would come after me, unless he deny himself, unless he hate his father and his mother, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We're living in a generation that wants to make it easy for everybody to be known as the disciple of Christ. And we want to make the work of God comfortable. But Jesus didn't do that. Church, what the challenge Paul gave to Timothy and the challenge I would give to you is to continue. We don't need to sit around and try to figure out what more we can do that someone else has never done. We just need to keep doing what others have faithfully done through the years, and that's win people to Jesus Christ. Let me mention from this text three things that are involved in continuing. If we are going to continue, and Paul hints at them here in the text, and we'll see them. First of all, continuing involves energy. Why do we quit? Why do we drop out? Why do we sit down? Because we're tired. So continuing involves energy. And Paul says to Timothy in verse number 15, 16, and 17, after challenging him to continue in what he's learned, he said, thou hast known the scriptures. Since you were a child, you've known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says that those scriptures given by inspiration are profitable for many things in their life. And he ends by saying that you will be perfect and throughly. If you go through means you follow through, you go all the way through. You'll be throughly furnished unto every good work. What happens in the lives of local churches is we lose our strength. We have no energy, so we stop. We run out of steam, as it were. Well, where does the energy for a church come from to begin with? Where does the vision come from? Where does the energy, the strength come from? It comes from the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus, and that's found in the pages of Scripture. The Bible is the book that energizes the people of God. It truly furnishes us unto every good work. Most of the great achievements of men and women of God throughout the generations came when they heard the words of the living God, and the word of the living God energized their heart, and they carried on the work of God. How about Job? Job is in the midst of a tremendous trial. And Job, in the middle of that trial, says in chapter 23 and verse 12, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Job is valiantly trying to continue in his confidence in God and faith in God, while others are telling him to abandon his faith. And he said, I have come to the point where the word of God is the most necessary, most important thing in my life right now. Why? Because I need it to continue. How about Elijah, who got discouraged, went and sat under a juniper tree and said, it's enough. Lord, take away my life. You know what he needed? He needed the word of God. So God came and visited with him. And God spoke to him. And the words of God to the saint of God, the child of God, the prophet of God, the man of God, revived him and filled him with desire to serve again. And he went on and filled his days until the Lord took him to heaven in faithfulness. The word of the Lord meeting with him gave him the grace to continue. Jeremiah is finding it difficult in the atmosphere of Israel and their idolatrous disobedience to God to continue in ministry. He said, I've had it. It's enough. I'm not going to say anything else. But then he said, thy word was like a fire burning in my bones, and I could not forbear. And he had to speak the words of God. I'm saying to you, church, continuing involves energy, and that energy will only come from you and I feeding upon the word of God. If you take a poker and you place it in the fire for a few minutes and then pull it out, you will feel the heat of the fire on the poker for a short time. But the longer you leave the poker in the fire, the more the poker will take on the glow of the fire, and there will come a point when you pull the poker out that you won't just feel the heat, but it will carry the heat for quite some time, and it will glow with the reflection of the flame in which it was laying. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you and I spend in the pages of God's Word? We are so confident in our abilities and so dependent on our own strength that we only get in the fire enough to take on a little heat from the Lord, and we never stay long enough to get the glory of the Lord in our lives and the passion of the Lord. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Church, I'm saying I believe that that continuing requires the necessity of getting the strength to continue, the energy to continue from the Word of God, which thoroughly furnishes us unto all good works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says to the Corinthian church, but we all, verse number 18, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The suggestion is that when we are in the Bible, we are face to face with the Lord, and the more time we spend in His presence, the more we take on His likeness. Look at 1 Corinthians, the first letter Paul wrote to the same church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but instead in the power of God. He's saying that His energy, His strength, His power came from God. It came from the words which the Holy Ghost taught Him. Church, we will only continue and be as strong as we are in time we spend in the Bible. What's the most important part of New Testament Baptist Church? It's being in the book. It's honoring the Lord Jesus. It's lingering in His Word. Continuing involves energy, and that energy only comes from God. He supplies the power. I'm going to say to you, secondly, that if we are to continue, it will involve enemies. It will involve enemies. Look back at chapter 3 again, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He began by talking about perilous times coming. He's saying in the last days, so he's saying, he's talking about when Paul uses the term the last days, he's talking about the days immediately preceding the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And back in Paul's day, all the church expected that to be during their lifetime. If they expect it to be during their lifetime, we certainly ought to expect it during our lifetime 2,000 years later. He is coming again. The angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go up from you into heaven. Our Lord is returning. And the last days before His return are going to be characterized by much evil. Continuing involves enemies. In verse number 12, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You will not continue. You will not keep going. And by the way, do you know why some people don't continue? Because it's too painful. Because it gets too difficult. Because it costs too much. The Church of Jesus Christ, wherever it is, in Hamilton or Burlington or wherever it is around the world, must understand that if our Master was hated by the world, we too will be hated by the world. And if we determine we're going to live godly in Christ, regardless of the atmosphere in which we live, we are going to suffer persecution. And Paul did that. Notice he said, you've fully known my doctrine, manner of life. And then he says, persecutions, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. He endured a lot because continuing involves enemies. There's the enemy that is called the sinfulness of the hour. In verses 1 to 5 and verse number 13, he talks about it, about how the world in which we live before the return of Christ will be full of evil, wickedness, departure from the faith, seduction, evil men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He's saying, Timothy, things are going to be worse than you've ever dreamed. Things are going to be worse than you've ever seen before. And if you read your newspaper or you watch your nightly newscast, you know that it's true today. We're facing things we never believed we would have to face. Not only is there the sinfulness of the hour, but there's satanically empowered people. He mentions in verse number 6 on about false teachers and those who are corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith, and they're seducing people and they're leading them astray, doing things that are not according to truth. Can I tell you something about the devil? The devil has never believed in continuance. When he had a place in heaven as the created angel of God, he would not continue in that. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the Most High. Not content to continue in the place that God placed him, he rebelled against God and, of course, lost his place in heaven and came to the earth. And in the Garden of Eden, where God has placed man and woman, and man and woman are walking in perfect harmony and fellowship with God, the devil does not like continuance and doesn't want them to continue in fellowship with God. So he interrupts that by deceiving them, by lying to them, by distorting the truth to them. And so they're deceived by the liar and they sin against God. And that relationship is broken with God and they can't continue. And so God has to send a redeemer. When we get a picture of Job's trial, we find out that it all begins with an audience that God has with Satan in heaven. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yeah, I've seen him. And he said, I'll tell you what, he's not real. All you have to do is stir up a little bit of trouble in his life and he'll stop. He won't continue in the faith. And God said, all right, go ahead. You just can't touch him. And so he stirs up trouble, and Job loses everything in one day that he owns and everything that he had, and he still continues in his faith. And the devil comes and says, yeah, everything that a man has, he'll give for his own life. Let me touch his life. So God said, you may touch him, his flesh, but you can't take his life. And so he's smitten with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and what does he do? He continues in his faith. The devil hates continuance. I'm telling you, church, there is an enemy that is sworn to our destruction. He has sworn to stop the ministry of this church, the preaching of the gospel, the advance of the cause of Christ. What we're called to do goes against him. It goes against the grain of the world in which we live. And we are surrounded by false teachers who are trying to suggest that we need to ease up a little bit. We need to step back a bit. We need to change this, and we need to adopt this, and we need to do this. And you need to be very aware of the voice of the enemy who decides, I want to slow you. See, he doesn't really care if I serve God. He just doesn't want me to serve God in truth. And so he deceives me. He leads me in a way that will cause me to abandon truth. I tell you, church, we will always be a minority in this world, in the midst of a majority of unholy people. Continuing involves enemies, but we're exhorted to continue. Go with me to Acts chapter 20 for just a moment. Paul is journeying toward journeying toward Rome, and he's at Ephesus, a church that he established for the last time. He knows he won't see them ever again. And he's warning them in Acts chapter 20. He's reminding them about his ministry. And he says in verse 22, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He's saying, I'm going to continue. I'm having a witness in my spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling me I'm facing trouble. I'm facing danger, but it's not going to stop me. I'm going where I've been sent. I'm heading in the right direction, and I'm not going to be persuaded otherwise. And then he, in verse 28, he warns them, not only about himself personally, but in verse 28, he said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. Watch this, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So from the outside, they're going to come in and try to destroy the work of the ministry. And verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." He's warning them that continuing will involve enemies. Thirdly, continuing involves encouragement. If we will continue, we will continue because we're encouraged. How many runners have finished a race because somebody in the stands is cheering them on? How many have completed a project because there are those that have expressed faith in them and belief in them and have cheered them on? Look with me at verse number 10 again. 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 10. As Paul speaks to Timothy, he says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." He said, you know them all. So what he's doing is he's saying, Timothy, continue. And continue by looking to my example. Look at what God has done in my life. I'm going to go to heaven now. God has laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But Timothy, you now must pick up the mantle, and you must be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And to encourage you, look at what you've seen God do in my life. Do you know where Timothy came from? Let me take you on a quick little journey here. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter number 14. Paul has been in Antioch, and he has been expelled from there. And he comes to a place called Iconium. And in chapter 14, he's in Iconium. He eventually gets run out of Iconium. He goes to a place called Derbe. Let's go to verse 19. "There came thither," this is while Paul is in Iconium. Oh, wait a second here. Let me get my place. Okay, he leaves Iconium and goes to Lystra and Derbe. In Lystra, beginning in verse number 8, there's a man who's a cripple from his mother's womb who's never walked. He receives his ability to walk. The people begin to look at Paul and his companion Barnabas as gods and try to worship them. And they turn that aside. They deflect that worship and give the glory to God. Verse 18 says, "With those sayings, they scarce restrained the people that they did not sacrifice unto them. But there came certain Jews," verse 19, "from Antioch and Iconium," the two places they'd just been and driven out from, "who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead." So he's in Lystra. He's seen a great miracle. They're professing him to be a god. He says, "I'm not a god," and he gives glory to his god. But then come the outsiders, and they persuade them that that Paul is worthy of death, and they stone Paul and leave him, supposing that he's dead. But look at verse 20. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch." Went back to where he was stoned, and then back to the places that incited the stoning and ran him out of town, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We must through much tribulation. So what he's teaching us here is that Paul continued by the grace of God and through much tribulation accomplishes the work that God ordained for him to do. But having seen all of that, go with me to verse number... Oh, let me see, where am I at here? Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Paul has retraced his steps now, gone back to where he was stoned, back to the cities that incited the stoning. Then he goes back and reports to the church. Now he goes back out on a missionary journey again, and he retraces his steps. And it says in verse number 1 of chapter 16, he came to Derbe and Lystra. Lystra's where he was stoned, and Derbe's where he went after he was stoned. He came to Derbe and Lystra, and watch this, behold, a certain disciple was there. That disciple means a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus, named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. The indication is that when Paul went there and preached the gospel, and they saw the demonstration of power, at some point they believed and got saved. They knew the Old Testament scriptures, their eyes were open to the truth of the gospel, and they got saved. And now he has Timothy, who is a disciple, verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. When the going got tough and Paul got stoned and left for dead, he went into a city and preached where a young man became a believer. And when he came back to that city, that young man was well spoken of as a believer, and Paul took him under his wing. So Timothy was receiving from Paul the encouragement of his own testimony. You and I have the testimony of Paul, but we have many, many multitudes more testimonies than that in history to attest that God blesses those who continue. We're exhorted in Hebrews chapter 12 to run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured. He continued. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. For consider him, verse 2 says, that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. Looking unto Jesus, considering him. If you're going to continue, if I'm going to continue, we will continue because we've been encouraged by the example set by our Lord Jesus, by the disciples, by Timothy, by those who've gone before us. Church, we have one responsibility as we begin a new year of ministry. That's to continue in the things which we have learned and have been assured of. It involves energy. We'll get that from the Word of God. It involves enemies, but God will deliver us as surely as he has delivered others, and it involves encouragement. And I'm encouraging you this morning to continue, to be faithful, to go forward. Somebody said one time, and I have to agree, I would rather fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. I'm telling you that the one world church, which is rapidly developing today, which is prophesied in the scripture, which is the church loyal to the Antichrist and the forces that are anti-God, that church today is on the ascendancy. Buildings are being filled. Multitudes are joining. And it seems like all the power and the prosperity and everything is there. And the little church that sits on a corner somewhere and faithfully prays and faithfully preaches the word and faithfully exhorts people and faithfully goes after souls, that church appears to be losing today. But I would rather be considered a failure in something that will ultimately succeed. Jesus said the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And the church will be triumphant. The Lord will come and we will reign. And that which is anti-God and anti-Christ will be ultimately defeated. So if you want to be a part of the success now that will ultimately be defeated, join them. But that's not where I'm going. Continue faithful in the things which you've learned. Many years ago, there were two young boys who lived out in the country, not far out of town, but they didn't have the means of transportation that we had. And so the two boys, one older, one younger, I don't know their ages, but they were sent by mom into town. This is in Maryville, Tennessee. And they went into town to complete a couple errands. It was mid-afternoon when they went, and they went to one store. They had back then what were called five-and-dime stores, or five- and ten-cent stores. And there was a store that they went into, and there was a couple of other things that the older boy needed to do. So he got something for his younger brother, and he gave it to him, and he said, "Now you just stand here and wait." I think there was a bench outside or something, but he instructed his younger brother to wait there at that store until he came back. He said, "I got to go do a couple other things. I'll be back to get you." And he gave him a sucker or a candy bar or something, and so he went off to do his business. Well, in the course of doing his business, when he completed, he forgot all about his brother. He went all the way back home. It's getting dark now. As he walks into the house, his mother looks at him, and immediately he knows he did wrong. And before she can even say it, but she says, "Where's your brother?" And before he can try to even answer, he's turned around and racing out of the house and racing back to town. And all the way, his heart is pounding, is in his chest, and he's wondering what's happened to his brother. And he's thinking about his mom and what's going to happen. You know, all of those things that would go through your mind. And the closer he gets to town, he sees the lights of the city. He notices that people are gone, and the streets are basically empty. And you know, it was back in those days, they weren't out all night, and there weren't a lot of street lights and so forth. But there was a street light. And he's got closer and closer to the five and dime. He's looking and he's looking, and finally gets close enough, and he sees a silhouette of someone standing there. And he begins to believe in hope. And sure enough, when he gets there, there's his little brother, staying put just like he was instructed. Can you imagine his relief? Can you imagine his joy that he stayed, that he continued, that he didn't give up waiting, that he didn't go away? I wonder, doesn't Jesus say something in the gospel record about, "Shall the Son of Man find faith upon the earth when he returns?" When the Lord Jesus does return, and he is returning, will he find us waiting? Will he find us still where he told us to be, doing what he told us to do, with the spirit in which he told us to do it? Will we be waiting, or will we have wandered off? Will we have really, he forgot about us, he's not coming back? Will we be trying to accomplish in our own strength, or will we be faithfully doing what he asked us to do? Church, I beg you, I implore you, I encourage you, just continue. There's a lot of things we're going to endure. There's a lot of things we're going to encounter. But what God wants us to do, what Paul wanted Timothy to do, is to continue. Stay faithful, and God will bless you. Let's pray.